Good afternoon, Synod. We move to item 6 on the agenda, the report by the Business Committee, and you'll need GS 2024 for this item. But before we begin that, just a couple of notices. I've been asked to remind you that if on your mobile device or whatever electronic bleeping machine that you've got, can you please ensure that it's turned to silent, because not all of them are at the moment. And the Synod team apologise for the glitch that's happened with those voting cards that we've all collected, and they need to have them all back, please, so that during the night, while we're sleeping, they can be reprogrammed. So when you leave, could you put your voting card into one of the boxes that the members of staff will have down in the entrance to this hall? Thank you very much indeed for that. As you can feel, we're under pressure of time, and so we'll be looking for a short debate on the report of the Business Committee, if that's at all possible. And of course, I'm in your hands as far as that's concerned, so that we can get to the following item. So I invite Canon Sue Boyce, Chair of the Business Committee, to speak to her report and then to move that the Synod take note of the report. So you've got up to 10 minutes, but I've been praying for a long time that you're going to speak for less.
I'll do my best. Boyce Oxford 186. Friends, this is an unusual synod in two respects. I'm introducing the agenda, and yet we've been going for some time. This is a very rare occurrence. The last emergency debate was in February 2012, responding to recent violence in Nigeria, a subject of equal seriousness. And I think, though I may be challenged, but in the bar later, please, that there has not been another in my 15 years here. And this reflects the level of our concern. The scheduling of debates on current and important issues has been something that's concerned Synod members for some time. And whilst this particular power is one to be used sparingly, we'll continue to explore ways of opening up the agenda to matters of public importance. This synod, which has opened unusually, will also end in a way that is an equally significant departure from the norm, but this time one that has been anticipated and planned for some time. Synod will be prorogued on Saturday evening, allowing us to participate in a specially designed version of the shared conversations, following on from those that have taken place in the diocese. So from Sunday afternoon, the shared conversations design team will lead the work that we do together, which happens outside our standing orders. And that accounts for the fact that we will be prorogued on Saturday evening. Business Committee has worked with David Porter and the team to create clear space in which we can listen and attend to one another so that we may grow in understanding together. I should say now that we did not fully appreciate the preference of the design team for Synod members to be participants for the whole period of conversations, and I apologise for inconvenience and disappointment though this has caused to those with other important commitments who have to leave early. So, this is a short group of sessions, but I dare hope that you will find it perfectly formed, containing as it does a range of business that reflects the work we are called to do together. I hope that later in the agenda we will be debating the report called for by Synod on nurturing and discerning senior leaders. And on Saturday, we have the opportunity to review in debate the work of renewal and reform and our vision for education. Legislative business forms a large part of our work tomorrow, and we will need our commitment and our concentration to move through this with pace and proper dispatch. Many of you will have read and heard annual reports in your own parishes, and in July we do this kind of thing in Synod. The Archbishop's Council will present their report for 2016 tomorrow evening, and we will debate the 2017 budget. It's possible that during Synod we won't have time to debate the Commissioner's report as a result of the change to the order of business. However, in the conversations that took place around that decision, it was suggested to me that those who had points to raise with the commissioners would be welcome to attend their reception. At this stage, we do not know the precise position in relation to items of deemed business, which will have an effect on the pace of the agenda tomorrow. I have two important practical reminders for you. Please ensure that you have reviewed the security arrangements and that you and your visitors observe these for everyone's safety. May I also remind you, importantly, to declare any interest that you have relating to the subject of a debate at the same time as declaring your name and number. Please note that we are now colour-coded. Your lanyard reminds you of the dining hall in which your meal will be provided unless it has been transferred. Please don't court embarrassment by turning up in the wrong place. It's important to us all that Synod is supported in prayer and worship, particularly over these coming days. Our Synod chaplain has arranged a programme of worship for us to share, and our work and conversations together will be supported by the continuous praying presence and by seven chaplains. On your behalf, I'd like to thank them for giving their time and Michael for the generosity and grace with which he inhabits the role of Synod Chaplain. Whilst I'm in thanking mode, and they're walking behind me, I'd like to thank the staff with whom we work. They are tireless in their commitment to ensure that all goes smoothly for us. Finally, and perhaps more seriously, I'd like to thank you all and assure you of my own prayer and listening as this Synod continues. In so many ways, we are part of a significant journey of faith, a journey that is both private and corporate. More than ever over the next few days, we will be conscious of the attention that needs to be paid to private and corporate alike as we give each other our full attention. May God's grace surround and inhabit us all. I beg to move the report standing in my name.
The report now stands open for debate. Those who wish to speak, please indicate by standing. And I'm going to impose a two-minute speech limit from this point. Christine Courton.
Chris Courteen, Salisbury 402. We are already in a session that has been truncated for very good reasons. So therefore, we are limited into what we can get through in terms of business. We've already been chivvied along this afternoon, and in fact, this debate is being chivvied along. I'm a little concerned when I read the business report about the sessions in February. Because again, they will be truncated possibly because there will be some space required by the archbishops to reflect on some aspects of what might happen later on in Synod, later on with our shared conversations. And the amount of business that has to be got through, again, I think we will be chivvied along in February and will not be given enough time to properly debate some of the very important matters. And we do have to move through business in a timely manner when you look what it is that we have to get through. For instance, in February, and I declare an interest here, we are looking at the Lay Ministry Working Group report and the Lay Leadership report. We don't want to be chivvied along in those very important pivotal reports under renewal and reform. So I would suggest this: either the February synod is extended so that we can properly give time to the business in hand, or we all have the November dates in our diaries, do we not, for contingency, and that's the whole point of them, is that we freed up that time for the possibility of contingency business, which I should suggest the business committee should consider using. And finally, we have diocesan synod motions and private members' motions stacking up, And the business report is saying that they don't know how they are going to fit those pieces of business in at this stage, which is very disappointing. Thank you.
Thank you. Andrew Dochin, followed by David Lamming.
Andrew Dochin, 208 St Edmunds Green in Ipswich. Thank you, Chair. Three very short points. One is to do with the Blackburn Diocesan motion on transgender, welcoming people who are transgendered. It will be a very long time before that finally gets to the floor of the Synod, an even longer time since Blackburn Diocese debated it. I was just wondering, without wanting to give the House of Bishops business beyond what they already have, whether they might welcome a suggestion that they offer a welcome to people who find themselves in that situation before we debate it on the Synod floor, so that when we finally do, it would be welcomed with a claim. Secondly, the amending canon number 36 deals with two private members' motions, which I don't think, certainly myself, I'm agreeing with both of them. So I'm just wondering, when we come to debate that canon, if we could present both halves separately and vote separately on each private member's motion. And then finally, and we've alluded to already, we mentioned the shared conversations in February, but it's not in the list of future business for the February sessions. Thank you.
Thank you. I was just wondering, after the next speaker, whether there's anybody friendly enough to propose a motion of closure, but I will look for that then. David Lamming, followed by Gavin Oldham.
David Lamming, also St Edmundsbury and Ipswich, 399. Last November, the Archbishop of York promised a report on the Crown Nominations Commission in 2016. And at the last group of sessions in London, Francis Spufford asked a question about the effect of the work of the Commission of increasing the number of diocesan representatives. 2 weeks ago, we received the report, GS MISC 1147. That report, at paragraph 13, indicates that a theological review of the work of the CNC is to be commissioned to be presented for discussion in 2018. Meanwhile, Oxford Diocese have put down a motion inviting the archbishops to initiate a review into the role of the CNC, including consideration of alternative methods of appointment of diocesan bishops. I note that the motion is included in Annex 2 to the Business Committee's report in the forecast of General Synod business in February 2017. Regardless, however, of whether that motion is debated then, will the Business Committee please ensure that there is an opportunity for Synod members to debate the report GS MISC 1147 in February, and to allocate sufficient time for a proper debate into the various issues it raises? And on that latter point, has the Business Committee taken into account the disquiet voiced after the last group of sessions in February about certain debates being cut short while several members still wish to speak? For example, the report of the task group on evangelism and the proposed amendment to the motion on resourcing ministerial education.
Thank you. Oh, point of order. Thank you. Well, that has my support. Does it have the support of Synod? Would you please indicate if it does, please? Those against? That's clearly carried. Gavin Oldham. Oh, no.
Is it? Yes or not? Yes, thank you. Gavin Oldham, Oxford 378, and I declare an interest as having a private member's motion down for signature, mission and administration, about releasing time and energy, time and money for the church. I discovered, as a result of talking with Church House, that the final time for signing private members' motions in this General Synod is 10 o'clock tomorrow night. is a very, very short period, I have to say. And therefore, I would just like to request whether the Business Committee would consider exceptionally allowing until Tuesday when we finish the shared conversations, or alternatively, allowing those who are about to drop off the end to have a further group of sessions because it is such a short period. Thank you very much.
Thank you. We've been talking about the vote, and probably it was more even. So are there others who wish to continue the debate? Gentleman over there, and then the lady here. Thank you.
Martin Sewell, Rochester 391. Already today, we've been talking about how good it is to share and to have good conversation and good disagreement in connection with sexuality, in connection with Europe, in connection with the worldwide church. There is but one area where that is not welcomed in the church at the present time. And I have to tell you that that is in connection with the serial mishandling of historic sexual abuse cases in the church. That is a no-go area. We have asked if we could have a statement from the bishops explaining what is happening in connection with the review that has been announced in connection with the Bishop Bell matter. The Bell matter is Exhibit A for me. I don't really know what's happening there, but I do care passionately to get our processes right. The situation at present is that the church has told us they will not speak about it today. They will not make a statement until this synod has gone home. So if they relent, will you please ensure that we get 15 minutes so that we can do this? I'd finish with one remark. It's a quotation or an adaptation from Brendan Behan. The situation is really so dire that it cannot be made worse by a bishop's cover-up.
Thank you. The lady here, Mrs. Williams.
Did you call me? Deborah MacIsaac, Salisbury 405. The question I have concerns paragraph 58 of the Business Committee report, where it refers to considering trialing, scheduling a London group of sessions to include a Saturday in February 2018. Please, would the Business Committee consider providing Synod with a summary of the responses to the consultation that they conducted?
Thank you. Point of order, Mr. Freeman. You can tempt me, certainly. Thank you very much, Mrs. Williams.
Andrew Williams, Chichester 286. I would be grateful to ask the Chair of the Business Committee whether she would welcome ideas as to how we request emergency debates as members of Synod. I congratulate the bishops on the previous emergency debate and on securing that, but I wonder if they could advise us, the more ordinary members of General Synod, on how to do such a thing. 4 years ago, as the government sought to redefine God's creational ordering of marriage, I twice sought an emergency debate on the issue and my requests were refused. So given that it's an unusual thing to do, but when matters of extraordinary import that affect the nation are being changed at critical moments, and this happens certainly year by year in the current political climate, it would be good if the chairman could help us to know how we might be able to raise the issues that affect our nation at this time.
Point of order, Mr. Freeman. That still has my support. Does it have the support of the majority of Synod? That is clearly carried. And those against? My learned friends, very learned. Thank you. No, that is clearly carried. So I invite Canon Sueboys now to respond to the debate. And I'm no longer chivying, so you can have 5 minutes.
How generous. You couldn't raise it to 10, 15? No, maybe not. Thank you very much indeed for your thoughtful and considered responses to my report. Chris Courtine
Yes, you might have felt chivied. Actually, I've had some really interesting conversations with new curates recently about pace and chivying and the difference between something that goes on for a long time and something that feels as if it's just right. That was after I'd attended a Eucharist that lasted an hour and 50 minutes, and I really wanted to speed them up. We do try to get a really good balance between getting a good number of people to speak, but probably not everyone who stands, and to get the right amount of time. And sometimes it works better than others. There will always be people, I suspect, who are disappointed in what we might call the big debates. In terms of the time that's set aside in front of us, Business Committee will meet in September, and we have currently, and I hope you have, because I do, 5 days set aside in our diaries in February, and we will use all those 5 days if we need them. I have said that we don't plan unless something really urgent comes up to use our November dates, and I'm still keen to stick to that. But clearly, you, those of you who are here in the last quinquennium will know that when something urgent comes up, we do use November dates. Whilst I'm talking about that, I'll respond to Deborah McIsaac about the possibility of flagging up the possibility of using a Saturday morning in February 2018. Can I refer you to the Business Committee report last February, which had a short summary of the results of the poll? I didn't have it in front of me. If I'm wrong about that, you're very welcome to come back to me outside of the floor of Synod. They're there and you're very welcome to see them. There's no magic about it. Andrew Dotchin, into prophecy, it will be a very long time before this motion comes to Synod. At the moment, it is in the forecast of business. I have some advice for you. You can't vote separately by splitting the canons, but you can make suggestions to the revision committee that the part that you wish not to see there could be dropped. And if you want to take that action, I'm sorry, I'm looking for you and I can't see you. So your route for that is through the revision committee. And I'm sure that the legal department would be happy to help you with advice. David Lamming, I'm aware that there's a lot of interest in the CNC. My goodness, I would be, wouldn't I? And it's so nice that we are going to have a Bishop of Oxford among us later in this group of sessions. I hear your request to have a proper debate. And I think one of the things that the business committee will need to do is listen to all the different parties and to work out, as is our role, how best to order the business so that we get a debate that has everything needful before us, or a series of debates. I think I've already covered in my reply to Mrs. Courteen the point about lots of people wanting to speak. The panel of chairs does a great job for us, but they can't possibly call everyone who wants to speak. And every debate that ends does end at the request of a synod member. Mr. Oldham, I'm getting the light. Perfect. I'm nearly finished, I promise. Mr. Oldham, we can't do what you ask in relation to this synod, but I'll take advice and speak to my colleagues on the business committee. Mr. Sewell, I can't read my writing. I hear your concern, and I think you asked us to make time. We have demonstrated this synod that when asked about something important by the archbishops, we make the time. Mrs. Williams, currently an emergency debate can only be scheduled at the request of the archbishops. I refer you to the debate on the migrant debate, where one of the things that we've tried to experiment with, which was to schedule a debate without giving you the motion. Currently, there are two ways open to you. One is to seek a change in the standing orders, and the other is to write politely to the archbishops. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I now invite Synod to vote on this item 6, that the Synod do take note of this report. All those in favour? All those against? That is clearly carried. Thank you very much.